thing, but there's at least one secretary in the world that's happy that I'm giving this lecture. Because a law firm today told me that I should come to their office to pick up a couple checks. Okay. So I show up, and the secretary says, oh, I just put them in the mail to you. So I supposed to came over to the office, supposed to get picked up with the checks. So the supervisor says, why don't you go fetch the, oh no, it's already down in the mail slot, I can't get my hand down there. So I'm ready to fly off the handle, right? But I can't be giving a lecture called The Hidden CEO 3 hours later and fly off the handle. So whatever you guys think, there's one secretary who's happy to give this lecture today. Okay, this is a handout for you guys. Okay, this is a handout for you guys. I want to thank very much Dr. Ellie and Shelley for opening their homes. And Rabbi Zaitchik, of course, and Jeff. We have a very good run here together. We spoke about Tu B'Shvat once, and we spoke about Eretz Yisroel. I think that was a few times ago. We had political correctness, so we're on a good roll. Now, any good CEO will tell you that what it takes to be successful is what? Is preparation. You got to seal the deal, or you got to sell the project, or whatever. You have a meeting with your employees. It's all about preparation. My grandfather used to say being a good lawyer is about three things. Right, Jason?
Preparation.
Very good. That's it. Three, preparation. Right? There was a guy who was touring around Manhattan, and he's once here at Carnegie Hall. I get to Carnegie Hall. So he says, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? And what the chutzpah of New Yorker say?
Practice.
That's right. So now, there was once a young man, and he was trying out for the school play. Right? He was trying out for the school play. And he was the least talented of the kids in the class. So they had to find, everyone needed a role in the play. So they gave him a very, very basic role, that when the emperor comes on stage, he says, hark, I hear the cannon roar. Hark, I hear the cannon roar. Hear the story? So weeks and weeks and weeks going on, hark, I hear the cannon roar, hark, I hear the cannon roar. And he shows up the day, the parents are ready, enough ready with the hark to hear a cannon roar. So and all of a sudden he comes on stage with big production, and the emperor comes on stage, they launch the cannon, and he says, what the heck was that? So anyway, we got to be prepared in life. That's the main thing. Now, whether we know it or not, in the calendar, we are closely approaching Purim. We're closely approaching Purim. Now, we know that every meaningful event in the Jewish calendar has a built-in preparation time. Shavuos has 7 weeks of the Omer, right? 7 weeks of preparation to get ready for Shavuos, to get the Torah. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and a whole month of Elul. Yom Kippur is preceded by the 10 days of Tshuva. Even Tisha B'Av, right? Tisha B'Av, most sobering day of the Jewish calendar, is preceded by 3 weeks of preparation. Now, there's one day that seemingly has zero preparation and seemingly needs it the most, and that is Purim. If we don't prepare for Purim, it will be a whirlwind of Humantashen and Tony the Tiger costumes, and we will have missed a golden opportunity to capitalize on what our rabbis want us to achieve with Purim. So that's what we're going to try and accomplish tonight, and using it to bring out the concept of Hashem as the hidden CEO. Okay, now, you guys know the drill by now. I'm going to speak for about 40 minutes. I'm setting my watch, so I won't go over. Okay, and I'm leaving myself 5 minutes extra time after that. Okay? Clear?
Okay,
you let me know if I go over. Great. Now, we have to understand the following. That what's such a big deal about Purim? What's the big deal? Now, you have to understand that from the Torah standpoint, the holidays in the Torah, you go straight from Sukkot. And when would be your next holiday that's out there?
Pesach.
So you go through the Torah, there's no Hanukkah, there's no Purim, right? Now, these are holidays. Our rabbis said these were major significant events, and we're going to plunk down for eternity a celebration called Hanukkah and a celebration called Purim. Now, they don't do this every Monday and Thursday. So they don't have Columbus Day and Veterans Day and Martin Luther King Day, and there's Patriots Day when it was in Boston, like a lot of these extra holidays, right? So they don't do this every single day in and day out. So what did they want us to take away from Purim? What was so important? And the answer is a preparation for war. A preparation for war. A war with a nation known as Amalek. Correct. There's a nation called Amalek. Okay? Now we will see that Amalek is something which we are so busy with as Jews. If you would ask a rabbi, say, look, I got 1 week, one Shabbos, I'm going to come to shul. One Shabbos, the whole year I'm coming to shul. Now, the rabbi would probably say, well, come for my big drusha on Shabbos Shuva. He would probably say that. But halachically speaking, if there's one Shabbos you're going to spend in shul, it's this coming Shabbos. Why? Because we have a special Torah reading. Special Torah reading. We read the Parsha section of Amalek. We read the Parsha of Amalek. Now, what's so important to remember to wipe out Amalek? Like, let it go already. Like, no one knows who they are. They're history. They don't show up at the UN. They don't vote against us. The war's over. We won. Like, get over it, guys. Like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal with Amalek? And we'll see that Amalek is that force inside all of us, that doubt, that gnawing doubt in my mind. Can I do this? Can I be successful? Can I take this relationship to the next step? That, just get that static that's on my drive to become a mensch, my drive to become a sholem, my drive to become the person who I want to be. And that's what Purim is all about. To take odds with that Amalek, the Amalek that's in our society, and the Amalek that's inside each of us, and to conquer it. And we're going to see that's how the mitzvahs of the day, if you look at Purim, where'd they get this holiday from? Giving gifts to people, and a big party with drink. That doesn't look like any other holiday we have. We got a lot of other holidays. Why don't they just say, hey, look, you know, let's make it like Passover. You know, we'll tell the story. And where'd they get these mitzvahs from? So we'll see how they all factor into what we're trying to accomplish in Purim. Now, the title of the lecture is talking about life in a perturbed world. Does anyone know what the word perturbed means? Confused. That's good. That's good. Disturbed. Right. Unsettled, anxious, disturbed, okay? The world is under assault. Maybe not militarily, but psychologically, you feel a lot of people are at angst. They're not at ease with one another. In communities, things are much more splintered. I know people come to my house, my community, and they see kids riding bikes and running over to this person's house. I'm going to Coleman. I'm going to Berg. And they look like I feel like I'm in the 50s here. Right? All the kids are just running around from house to house, and it's very refreshing. And nowadays, I think people feel much more splintered, right? A lot of their shopping is online, and I don't really know my greengrocer, my bank. There's a lot of there's lack of a unity, lack of a sense of community like we've had in years past. We'll see how Purim and the concept of a Amalek plays into that as well. Now, we are holding in a special calendar time known as Adar. Called Mishenitnas Adar. When Adar comes in, we increase our simcha. Now, how do we do that? How do we increase our joyfulness in the world? How do we do that? Okay, where's the handout? You have an extra handout for me? I gave them all away. Terrific. Thank you very much. Okay, so the first handout on the page. First handout on the page, everybody. That's number one. Roman numeral number one at the top. This is a terrific, terrific sefer called the Orchas Deacon. Terrific sefer, the Orchas Deacon. About 700 years ago, 600 years ago. And it says like this. The midah is a simcha. This midah of simcha, upper left-hand column, is tolui. It hinges on a mitzvah aseh. It hinges on a positive commandment, shiyatztik kol me'uroisam, to justify everything that happens. I don't know if I would have defined joyfulness that way. A positive mitzvah to judge everything that comes my way favorably. Shenemar v'yadata im levavcha, you should know in your heart, ki kasher yaser ish es banoi, just like a person gives discipline to improve his son, Hashem elokecha miyasrach. Hashem is so doing, conducting himself towards you as a father towards a son. Bim acha she'odem oise tshuva, if already you are coming a big righteous person, you went out of your way to come to Jep lecture, and tomorrow you have a rough day at work, right? Or maybe there's extra traffic, or maybe the judge gives you a hard time, Jason, right? Mitzvah shiachoshe beliboy, it's a mitzvah to think in your heart, kila tovoso nahapich in yon l'ro. For my good, Hashem is behind the scenes, and he is playing this out for my good. How, what, where, when, why? We're not really sure. But that's a positive mitzvah in my heart that no matter what happens, I'm taking it in stride because my CEO, Hashem, God, is behind the scenes. Okay? There was a man, it's a true story, and he was taking a teal. He was taking a walk, a hike in Eretz Yisrael. And he hears a slither, And he looks down, and there's a snake. And the snake takes a chomp out of his ankle, and he starts feeling instantaneously as if this is not going to play itself out so well. And before he collapses, he davens to Hashem. He should save his life. And if he saves his life, in the merit of the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he will have a meal, he'll have a special suda in honor of Hashem, if Hashem will get him out of this. And with that, he keels over, and he passes out. They rush him, whoever is with him in his entourage with his trip, rush him to a hospital, and at which point he slips into a coma, and he's a coma for 10 days. 10 days later, he comes out of a coma, he's able to get up, he leaves the hospital, clean bill of health, goes home, miracle. They're planning a trip to Meron for the special simcha, the special gratitude to Hashem for in honor of what Hashem said. He gets a call from the head of the department. He says, sir, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? He says, well, I'm just like kind of a regular guy. He says, you're not a regular guy at all. He says, do you have any idea what has been going on for the last 10 days? He said, well, I don't really remember that much. I know I was bit by the snake, and they were concerned with the venom and the poison and everything like that. He says, let me explain to you what happened. He said, while you were in a coma, every day we had to take a blood test to see where was the venom holding in the system vis-a-vis the healthy blood cells. And during the course of one of those blood tests, we realized, unbeknownst to you, that there was a disease in your body that was beginning to grow. And totally unbeknownst to us, that as the venom in the blood was beginning to be winnowed out by the system, it was also killing the disease that was in your system completely unbeknownst to you. So by the end of 10 days, not only had the blood filtered all the venom out of his body, but the venom had taken care of the disease that was in his body. So he asked this guy, what was the single greatest thing that ever happened to him in his life? He was getting bit by a snake. Right? Now, those type of things don't happen to people like us, right? But they do. Maybe less dramatic, and we're not volunteering for snakes and poison and comas and that, right? But in the meantime, we have to understand that behind every single event that's playing itself out is our hidden seal. And that is a recipe. That's a recipe for simcha. Victor Miller has a terrific sefer. I asked him if I could photocopy. It was a little too late for me to copyright. It's a terrific sefer for Victor Miller on Amun and Betachem. Terrific, terrific sefer. And he says the following. He says, disasters in life harbor a great opportunity. Because the disaster itself does not mean anything. It's how people react to it that matters. Mm-hmm. To fulfill the mitzvah of betachon. A mitzvah of betachon, right? A mitzvah of tefillin, a mitzvah of lighting candles, a mitzvah of betachon. A mitzvah to have trust in Hashem is to know that whatever happens is being done by Hashem for a kindly purpose. Whatever happens is being done by Hashem for a kindly purpose. You may not know what the purpose is, and it may take years to discover. And it may even require a trip to the next world to discover what happened. But someday you'll realize the truth that Hashem does everything only for benevolent purposes. Okay, now we may have in our own life, and maybe in the lives of a lot of other people, questions on decisions that our CEO is making. But if a person is able to go through life with that deep-seated belief that Hashem really, really knows better than me, it's a recipe for success. Okay, where are we holding? So that sounds pretty simple. So what's getting in the way? And the answer is, the Chovos Levovos, the Sefer Duties of the Heart, says that the Yetzer is going to start up with you, and he's going to try and inject doubt into your life. And we could read that, and I even underlined it, and maybe read it once, and maybe even have it taped up on a cabinet in my kitchen, right? But when that kid doesn't want to go in the bath, right? Or that person's calling like to sell me something which I really don't need to hear right now. I got, a house like in orbit trying to get Bed Bath & Beyond the kids asleep, right? But in the meantime, that sense of doubt that creeps into our life, that is a Molech. That's a Molech. The baseline battle cry of a Molech is Mikra. Life is random. Life is happenstance. Don't talk to me about this divine management and hidden CEO and something's going on. I had a friend of mine, you know, there was a third building, not the two trade centers that one, they both fell, but there was a third one that wobbled and stayed up, and I had a college buddy who was in the third one, and he lived to tell about it, and I said, so you walked out of, like, you walked out of ground zero. What do you say about that? He says, life sure is random. That's probably not the take-home message that we wanted to walk away with, right? But when we have doubts about what we can do with our lives and what we can do with our potential and what we can do with our relationships that we're involved in, we say, well, that's just the way it is, and it's just going to play itself out like that, and that's the way my job is playing itself out, and these are my character traits, and this is what I'm holding religiously, and that's just the way it is. So when we get that inspiration, no, I'm going to take this to the next level. I'm taking this relationship to the next level. I'm taking this job to the next level. I'm taking my character traits to the next level. So that little voice inside that says, but you won't be successful, that's a mullet. That's the voice of a mullet. And it is taking victims day in and day out. And we're amongst them, right? We all have it. Well, why should this Shabbos be any different? Why should this week be any different? It's just going to be the way it is. And we said, inspiration, and a mullet is there to squash it up. But when we live with the fact there's more behind the scenes, we leave with our hidden CEO, we have tools to fight. We have tools to fight that down. Terrific story that appears in a great Sefer. We did the Sefer from once, from Zilberstein. He tells an amazing story. Tells an amazing story about our hidden CEO, about our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the following. There was a Yid who was living in America, and he got a call from an old age home in London. Do we do this one? Mm-hmm. Person passed away? We spoke it out. I think we spoke it out. Right? Was that you, Isabel?
You have to
tell me. Okay, tell you more. This gentleman, single child, lives in America, gets a call that his mother has passed away in England. He's shocked. He didn't know she was sick. They say, we're terribly sorry. He couldn't get out of the country. He makes arrangements with the Chevra Kedisha, the Barrow Society in England, take care of the whole situation. In America, he begins sitting Shiva. 2 days into Shiva, he gets a phone call from Mom. He says, who is this? He says, you forgot me already? I'm your mother. So he says, how could it be? They told me you're dead. She's dead? What are you talking about? I'm perfectly fine. So what happened? They called the wrong family. So now they have the major uncomfortable task of calling the family of the woman who really did pass away. So they call up family and they speak to a son. Sounds very unremorseful. He says, okay, have the body cremated and send me the ashes. They said, well, we already spoke to the Chevra Kedisha. She's already had a proper tahara. She's already buried in a proper Jewish cemetery. And he starts chuckling to himself on the phone. He says, Mom, looks like you won. Because the mother, she wanted to have a Jewish burial. And her son, who was rabidly anti her religiosity, said, you'll see, Mom, I'll have the last call. And she, day in and day out, davened to Hashem that he should orchestrate it, that she should have a proper burial. And she managed. And Hashem, the hidden CEO, is working it out. All behind the scenes. All behind the scenes. There's a phrase, believing is seeing. You ever heard this expression? Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. When we look for Hashem's hand in our lives, we will see it. And the biggest testament to that we have in all of Scripture, all of Tanakh, is Megillas Esther. In Megillas Esther, Hashem's name appears not once. And yet, behind every single line of the Megillah is the Yad of Hashem, our CEO, orchestrating everything behind the scenes. The death of Vashti, and Haman's rise to power, and Mordechai hearing over the plot to assassinate the... It's behind every single word. And that's why there's a halacha. You cannot miss a single word of the Megillah. What's the big deal, you know, if I start snoozing this Shabbos in the middle of Vayikra? Okay, you know, as long as I'm not reading, I'm okay, right? the Megillah, I all of a sudden have to hear every single word. I got the point. I got the idea. Esther and Mordechai, great. And Mazel Tov, right? Every single word I got to hear. Why? Because if I miss a word, I'm going to miss another phenomenal event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, is working behind the scenes. I'll tell you my favorite one. I'll tell you my favorite one. Also in the handout over here. Let's see, where's the handout? Number three. This is unbelievable. This is a sefer called the Sifsei Chachamim, not our Sifsei Chachamim that we know in Chumash, a different Sifsei Chachamim, called the sefer Avram Abba Herzl. And he wrote a sefer on the Masechta Megillah. And in the Megillah, it says that when Achashverosh didn't know what to do with Vashti, what should we do with Vashti? So who did he ask? He asked the Chachamim. Who were his council? Who was his cabinet? So the cabinet was those who Yodei Itim, those who knew time, she Yodiim la'Avar Shonim l'Goy Chadoshim. The Sanhedrin, Jewish sages who knew how to construct the Jewish calendar. Like we have this year, an extra month, they add an extra month, right? Now it'd be up to me, okay, he consulted with whoever he consulted with, you know, let's cut to the good parts where people start getting hung, you know, like that. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, why, of all the people to consult, why did he consult Jewish people? He's got a whole cabinet, he's got everyone is under his fingertips, his whole empire. Let him consult with the, you know, the Pakistanis or the Norwegians. He has to go out of his way and consult the Jewish Beis Din, the Jewish court, the Jewish advisors. So he says, unbelievable. He says, everyone else they would have asked, they would have said, killer. Because why? Because they're secretly hoping that somebody from their own camp, they'll elevate to the queen. That would be good for them. However, he was worried that maybe they'd have a bias. However, Masha Enkin, which is not the case by the Jewish judges, they're Chachom and Yodei Itim, that they know the time. So Yodei, they knew Mitzad Sina, Shibi Oiso Ha'ez, there was so much anti-Semitism in Persia at that time. Vatai lo Yegim Abbas Yisrael Malchus Tachas Vashti. There's no possible way politically a Jew could ever ascend to the queen. Not feasible, not possible at all. It's like Trump. I mean, it was so. It's completely out of the realm of possibility. And we all know, we all know who Esther really was, right? She was a Jew. So that's what's why you double click on any single part of the Megillah. That's what you'll find. You find the hidden seal, and that's why we have to read it at night, and that's why we have to read it the next day, and that's why we can't miss a word. And that's why we have to hear it year in and year out. There was my last daughter who was born, Baruch Hashem, our Sarah Sasha. So there was complications with the birth. And Hatzolah was involved, rushes down to the hospital, Baruch Hashem, she's okay. But I have a rabbi of mine in Eretz Yisrael, And when he heard the news, he went to the Kosel. I got a call from my mom, said, you should know Rabbi Bertram's going to the Kosel. He's going to the Western Wall. Why was he doing that? Maybe he should be on the phone calling. I know someone who's very good at NICU, you know, neonatal, ICU. Why is he doing going to the wall? What's at the wall? What's the answer?
Prayers.
Right. Access to our hidden CEO is there. It's like the doctor, the family, the religious family asked the doctor, you know, how they had a person who was in the throes of a very, very serious illness. So they asked the doctor, they said, how, you know, how long do you give him? He said, with you people, you never know. What, we have, from all the chopped liver and herring, we have stronger immune systems? What do with you people, we never know? It's because we're looking behind the scenes. We're looking behind what the doctor is saying, behind what the analyst is saying, right? We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, our hidden CEO. And you behind that facade, you'll see Hashem's hands. Even though, I'm sure, in the Shushan Times the next day, there was a whole editorial written about how really the Jews are really superior fighters, and that, right, there is a completely logical explanation without Hashem's hand whatsoever, and if you want to leave it as just mikra, as just happenstance, it'll remain that as such. It'll remain as such. There's a sefer we've quoted here several times before. Where it is now. The Sichos Musar from Chaim Shulevitz. Sichos Musar from Chaim Shulevitz. This is also on the handout. Number four. He says the following. He says, I have the right page. He says, Tachlis a Megillah. What's the purpose of the Megillah? L'hoira she'ein t'chilas ishtalshus ha'neis m'tchila b'godo ha'melech Achashverosh is Haman. Don't think that the whole story of Purim, the curtain rises only when Haman comes to power. That's not where the story of Purim starts. Where does Purim story start? Anyone lay in the Megillah? Where does the story start? Achashverosh is party.
Party time.
So what's that going to do then? If you pay attention, the Dester explains, we think that the Purim story, it takes a few, 9, 12, 20, years and years go by. If you follow the storyline, years and years, it doesn't really get that sense when you're going through it. But there are years and years are going by to show you what that party and the ramifications of that party, the ripple effects of those are being felt years and years and years later. That's what he's saying. The main purpose of that of the Megillah is to say this happened way before the whole thing started to evolve from that meal, from that suda that we participated in, to show that what there's a whole macro wave of divine providence is playing itself out. Now we don't see it because we're in the trenches and we're involved in our own daily orbit. But when you read the Megillah and you see and you know what's coming, I know what's coming now, right? We know what's coming. We need to see that Yad Hashem. We see our hidden CEO, and that's why we have to read the Megillah year in and year out, and that's why we can't miss a word. There was a recent dinner for Tomchei Shabbos in Rockland County. And Diane Donner, have you ever heard Diane Donner from England? Terrific speaker. He told the following story. There was a young couple in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't have children for many years. And they were blessed with a child, Baruch Hashem. And a year later, the child was an innocent victim in a terrorist attack. And there was a tzala truck, van, with all the various different emergency technicians and staff, and I think it was van 86, and they rushed to the scene, and they did everything they could valiantly, and they couldn't save this young child's life. It was very, very sad. It was a very bitter shiva. And about a year later, this van 86 gets a call. And this mother, who lost her first child, was having complications with the delivery of her second child. And they were called to rush to the scene. And they were able to get things under control. And the baby was okay. And the vital signs were kicking in. And they still obviously have to go to the hospital for everything else like that. But they're driving to the hospital with such a simcha, with such a joy. And they looked around and they said, wait a second. You were there last year, and you were there, and you were there. It was the same team of medical technicians. And this van 86 or whatever, wagon 86, it wasn't even supposed to be in that neighborhood. And Diane Donner said a beautiful thought. He said, it's always van 86. He says, whether it's for good news, or whether, God forbid, it's for the opposite, it's always van 86. And that's what he said about Tomchei Shabbos. It's interesting, just parenthetically. He said some years people need Tomchei Shabbos because they fall on rough times. And other years, they're in a capacity to give. And he says it doesn't make one person any better than the other. He says one year Hashem wants a person to be on the high side of the equation and other times on the low side of the equation. Why? Our hidden CEO has made that calculation. So far, so good. How are we doing?
Great.
Okay, terrific. Now, when we think about the other mitzvahs of the day, Purim, besides the Megillah, how does that factor in? We have three others. We have the Mishta, the feast, okay, which is supposed to be done, and the Edenwak is real, you know, done en masse with your friends and your colleagues and your companions, not on your own. Celebrate with other Eden, celebrate our and praise, our hidden CEO. What about Mishloach Manos? What about Mishloach Manos? Giving gifts one to the other. Giving gifts one to the other. And let me give you an example. Let's say I give a gift to the Kessler family. I'm very fond of the Kessler family. And I give a gift, and I leave the Mishloach Manos a nice bottle of wine and a plate of brownies, and it says, from a fan. From a fan. I don't sign bitters. That's it. Now, there's an opinion in Halacha that says I did not fulfill my mitzvah. Now, how can I not fulfill a mitzvah? Wine and the brownies, and I schlepped all the way out to Kessler's house. I did my part, right? So what's missing? Why is it so important? Correct. In the Shloach Manos, there's two aspects that appear in Halacha, in Jewish law. One is that we should have food for the meal. Food for the meal. So now, Baruch Hashem, the Kessers, have another bottle of wine, a plate of brownies. Check. But there's another opinion which says the purpose of Mishloach Manos is to create achdus, a unity amongst Jews, a connectivity. Right? Because in a world that's perturbed and everyone's kind of scattered a little bit, the ability to connect with other people is becoming more and more and more disparate. I find the same thing over here in Westchester. It's much more scattered. The caliber of connectedness, they send you a text, and there's a breakdown. There's a breakdown. Mishloach Manos, you didn't hit the mark until you know where it came from. Because you could feel good, you could have a connectivity with another Jew. You could feel a unity. You can feel an achdus. Matanas of Yonim, gifts to the poor. Tzedakah is always a nice thing to do. It's got to be, got to go out of your way. Look, Rabbi Zajic's already got to, he's got to coordinate with Eretz Yisrael and the time and Odi Yosef Chai. And tzedakah is always a nice thing. You put a check in the mail. It's got to be on Purim. It's got to be on Purim. Why is it be on Purim? So that a Jew will know that someone else is caring about me. Someone else is thinking about me. I'm using my awareness of my hidden CEO to be better, to be a giver, to step beyond my own box, my own comfort zone. I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to go above and beyond. There is a was a young man in law school, not in law school with me, but he took an affinity in a study group with a bunch of other Jews. And he started going through the calendar with them a little bit. He saw what they did on Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, from a distance, obviously. Chanukah, his appetite was wet. He says, look, he's an Irish guy, and he says, whatever your next holiday is, you know, count me in. So when they brought him to the Purim Suda, this Irish guy said, this religion is for me. What's with the drinking? I mean, where the drinking, the costumes, like, this is like, you know, what's going on over here? This is so unusual. It's so unusual. So there's a famous expression which says there are two things that make people different from one another. They are partsufim, the way they look. Right? We all look different, even though we're all working with two eyes and two ears and a nose and hair, right? We all look different. It's amazing. You can run into a person you haven't seen in 25 years and say, where do I know you from? That's amazing. And what else makes us different is our deos. We have different opinions. Okay? So one person's a conservative, one person's a liberal, and one person's Trump, and one person's Clinton, right? So, deos. So there's a concept that says that if what keeps us apart from one another and separate is our partsuf, the way we look, and our deos, the way we think, so in Purim, we got to get rid of both. So our partsufim, we get dressed up like Casper the Friendly Ghost, or Superman, or whoever you want to get dressed up by. My kids are going as farmers this year. Right? And our deos, what do we do with our deos?
Drunk.
Have a couple of chayims. Have a couple of chayims before you know it. You know, your arch enemy you're singing with, you know, sing me a piano man, right? So that's That's the unity that we are trying to achieve with Purim. And we know that Purim, we accepted the Torah. I don't know if you know that. There's three times in the Jewish calendar we accept the Torah. Shavuos, we all know, because we stood at Mount Sinai. Yom Kippur, we know a little bit less about, but that's the time we got the second tablets of Yom Kippur. And the third time,
Purim.
What happened in Purim? I didn't see anything of the Torah over there. What happened to Purim? What happened on Purim? First of all, how do we get there? The answer is apparent right now. With unity. With Achdus. Because that was the one requirement the Jewish people needed at Har Sinai. At Mount Sinai, we needed to have Am Echad Lev Echad. One nation, one people, accepting the Torah. Now, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times I see Jews together. And this guy's got his opinion. Even the base medrash, he's got his opinion. And he's got that opinion. Right? We don't always look like a portrait of unity. We should, but we don't always live up to it, right? Because that's who Amalek again, getting, well, maybe if I, you know, right? But Purim, we can go to war with Amalek. And we can put all the Narishkeit and all the barriers aside, and you look the way you do, and you wear your kind of yarmulke, and I wear my kind of yarmulke, and your type of beard, and my type of beard, and we're all just Jews. Right? And you have your day, and you have your day, have another L'chaim, and we'll accept the Torah together. When a person takes the messages of Purim, you can live life even keeled. Tranquility. There was a woman, a teacher of my daughter's, and I know the family doesn't have so much by way of means, and it was before Yom Tov. So I casually asked, family gonna, you know, good to go, in a respectful way, are you good to go for Yom Tov? You have what you're gonna need for a proper Yom Tov. And on the spot, she didn't have to run the 52 different books, on the spot, she said to me, we're exactly where Hashem wants us to be. I'm like, I know why I want my daughter to spend time with you. Well, such an outlook, such an attitude. It's unbelievable. There's a, on the back side over here, the back page, on the reverse side rather. Oh no, sorry. Last number five over here on the front page in the lower left is a pasuk that we're in Tehillim. They're all very familiar with. Okay, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. We sing a song to Shabbos, the day of Shabbos. Toiv L'Hoidos L'Hashem. It's a wonderful song. We'll let Rabbi Teichman at the Kumsitz. You remember to cue up the song. Toiv L'Hoidos L'Hashem. It's good to give thanks to Hashem. U'lezamer L'Shimcha Elyon. And to sing to His elevated name. Now, what's happening over here? L'Hagid B'Boker Chasdecha. In the Boker to explain and to declare your chesed, your kindness. Emunoscha and your faithfulness balelos. Any Jewish grammarians here who would like to point out a difference between boker and lelos?
It's not boker. Singular and
very good, Jason. Excellent. You're very good. Excellent. Everyone knows that we lahagid pasuk gimel verse 3 lahagid ba boker chastecha. In the morning we declare your chesed. Boker singular. One morning. The emunascha and your emuna, your faithfulness balelos at nights. What's King David want from us over here? Why are we suddenly switching singular plural? So I thought the following. When life is somewhat gloomier, on darker times, things seem scattered and splintered. And disparate, and I can't seem to make headway with this situation. That's Lelos. One Lila, and there's another Lila, and another Lila. I don't mean just nighttime. I mean there's a Lila in a personal life, and a Lila in a marriage, and a Lila in a professional life, and a Lila in a community, and a Lila with my own relationship myself. It's just not rolling along. A lot of static, a lot of bumps, a lot of setbacks. One Lila, and another Lila, and another Lila. Now, when things are going good, shalom. It's a boker. It's a beautiful day, right? You know, on those days when you're flying and you go through it, you just look, there's 1,000 miles of sun, right? So those days when you know you got that spring in your step and everything's just clicking, and Boker, it's unified. Now, when things seem splintered and things seem disconnected and we seem perturbed, what do we need for those Leilos? What do we need for those nights? Emunah Sechem. That's when your Emunah. That's when it's Hashem's Emunah. And when life seems disjointed and we don't really seem like we have everything, we're kind of fending off from all different angles, that's when we need Emunah. That's what we're supposed to take away from Purim. Rabbis didn't do this every other day. Two holidays, Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah, you at least get a chance to warm up to a little bit. One night, two nights, three nights. Purim, the gauntlet's going to go off, right? And if this Mashallah Manos, and I'm running here, and I'm running there, and I'm getting at it. And a person has to take time. What do my rabbis, what do the sages want me to take from this day? I want me to take Emunah. That even in a situation where I don't see Hashem's seemingly hand at all, He is behind every little detail. That's what we're supposed to take away from the world. Questions, comments, rebuttal so far? Doing okay? Great. Where do we want to be after the Megillah? I always tell my I give a class Shabbos morning in my house, so we're coming into Elul. So I always tell the women, I say, where do you want to be at the end of Simchas Torah? It's the end of Simchas Torah. We're just getting going already over here, right? You always think of, where do I want to be? Where do I want to be? They start getting ready. You know, right after Purim for cleaning for Pesach. I say, you're just buying your first pizza after Pesach. Where do you want to be? What have you taken away? Right? Person goes to Eretz Yisrael for 10 days, and they visit this, they go to the Kosel, and they meet with the Prime Minister, and they go up north, and they go to the kibbutz, and you come back, and you say, so tell me, how was your trip? They say, the falafel was fabulous. Come on, like, you know, the falafel, that's it? That's all you have to show for it? Where do we want to be? Beautiful thought on the backside over here from a wonderful sefer from Shimon Schwab, Mayim Beis HaShueva. And he says the following, there's a famous line in the we actually say it every Saturday night in Abdullah. La'yehudim haisa oira v'simcha. Oh, that's it, 5 minutes to play. La'yehudim haisa oira v'simcha sasam v'ikar. Anybody remember this? Saturday night, picture yourself, flames, spices, wine, right? So there's a famous drasha, famous chazal in this pasuk, and it says the following. It says that all the words in this verse refer to different mitzvahs that we have. So for instance, ora is a stands for Torah, and simcha stands for yontiv, stands for holidays, and sason is a or Bris Mila, and Yoker is for the tefillin. So, Shimon Schwab asks, we had all these things before Purim. We had Bris Mila before Purim. We had Yonta before Purim. It showed me a Torah before Purim. So, what do we gain over here? So, he says in the last paragraph, Haisa Torah Bali Oira. It was a Torah, it was missing in its light. It was missing. After Purim, it's not the same Torah. And so too, he says for Yom Tov and for Bris Mila and for Tefillin, there was a whole new depth to what it meant to be a Jew that we got from Purim. And every year we got to get back to that. And every year we need a reminder that a Molek is out and he's gunning for every single one of us and all of our children and our grandchildren for those who have them. And our friends, and our spouse. And we got to go to war with it. And that's what we have a Shabbat Zohar, to remember a Molech. When did a Molech strike the Jewish people? We're coming out of Mitzrayim. We got momentum. We got the wind in our backs. No, I'm going to put that. I don't know if I'm ready for that. It seems like a big commitment. That's just kind of the way it is. Probably not going to work out. Let me just, you know, go revert back to status quo ante, and we'll be A-okay. Don't. Push the envelope further. That is the Vodah of Purim. Push the envelope further. Now, we're going to close with an amazing story. I think it's an amazing story. And one mashal, one parable. And the idea, again, is to walk away. The purpose of tonight's lecture, I hope it came across, was that the hidden CEO is not just in the macro, global unfolding of the world, but it's in the micro unfolding of our lives. And when a person lives with that reality, that emuna, that it's all car number 86, or it's the snake bite, or I'm exactly where I should be, or it's the call from the home in the United Kingdom. So all these stories, like, wow, what I really see, he's just as much present in our life. Mm-hmm. Believing is seeing. I'll tell you an amazing story. Let's see what I have in here, 1 second. Here we go. This is comes from a sefer called the Hasidic Tales from the Holocaust. Anyone ever heard the sefer?
Yeah, by
Yaffe Eliach.
Yaffe Eliach, yeah.
So you may tell me if you remember this story. It's called the first Ner Chanukah in Bergen-Belsen. On Erev Chanukah in Bergen-Belsen, there was a selection, which means, I'll spare everybody the gruesome details, whereby the Nazis en masse raided a certain barracks and brought out dozens and dozens of innocent Jews to go to the next world. When night came, it was time to light Ner Chanukah. The Chanukah menorah was a wooden clog, a shoe from one of the inmates. Strings pulled from a concentration camp uniform was the wick, and black camp shoe polish was the oil. The aura, you can hardly imagine the sorrow, the grief, and the pain. And they honored the Blujer Rav, a tower of Amunah, to light the candles. So he made the first bracha, Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Hashem has commanded me to do the mitzvah of lighting Ner Chanukah. He made the second blessing, Shalsa Nisim Lavoseinu. He made did mitzvahs, he did miracles for our fathers, Bayom Mehem Azmanazeh. And then he hesitated. Now the first night, there's a third bracha. And he paused, and he looked behind him, and he made Shechionu. Shechionu v'kiyamonu v'higiyan azman hazeh. Hashem has kept us alive and sustained us and brought us to the season. And among the people who were there was a Mr. Zemanchowski, who was a member of the Warsaw Bund. For those of you who know the Bund, very anti-religious, right, correct? And he never missed an opportunity to try and discuss, quote-unquote, matters of religion and faith. And he said, Rebbe, I understand that you did the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah, the Ner Chanukah, and that you made the historical blessing, Sha'asa Nisim, that you did miracles. But with hundreds of dead Yidden within shadows of here, and thousands of Yiddish skeletons walking around, how can you be thankful to Hashem, Shechionu v'kiyamonu v'higiyonu l'zman hazeh? So he said, Zemanchowski, I hear where you're coming from. And when I got to the third bracha, I had the same question you did. How can I make Shechionu? And that's why I paused, and that's why I looked back. Because the Zana Rav, who was the biggest Talmud Chacham, biggest sage of the people who were there that night, I looked to him if it was appropriate to make Shechionu. And he gave me the nod. And I noticed behind him was a throng of Yidden standing. A large crowd of living Yidden, Jews, their faces with emunah, faith, devotion, concentration, dedication to lighting the Ner Chanukah. I said to myself, Hashem Baruch Hu, as such a nation, at a time like this, during the lighting of the Ner Chanukah, in such a Gehenna, in such a situation with their beloved ones having died all around them. And in spite of all of this, they stand with dedication listening to the Blecha. And they say, Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseni, did miracles for our father in the day of old. If they're such a people that live with such an emuna and such a betachon and such a dedication, they're so cleaving to their secret CEO no matter what, that deserves a Shechiyana. That deserves a Shechiyana. There's such a people that will hold on to you no matter what. Sweet, there's another time of the year we make that bracha, Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseni. And it's going to be next Wednesday night, and we hear the Megillah, and the following morning, Thursday day. And before you hear it, we have beautiful days of preparation. We have a Shabbos Zachar, the Shabbos, to think about the war with Amalek. We have Tainus Esther, we didn't speak about Tainus Esther, also a beautiful day to remember that Hashem hears the tefillahs, hears the prayers of every Jew no matter what, and the minhag of giving a maksa the shekel, we didn't get into that also, maybe some other time. You have the Megillah at night. You have a Munoscha Balelos, you believe a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us every single night, one after the other, and we take that into the reading of the Megillah the next day. I'm going to leave with one mashal, one parable, beautiful parable, from the Chovos Levavos, Duties of the Heart, in his Gate on Repentance. Very end, he gives a parable of a man who's trying to get from one side of the river to another. I've probably said it here before, it's one of my favorites. And he's trying to get from one side of the river to the other. And he's got a whole stack of gold coins. And he takes one coin, and he throws it into the river, and the river keeps going by. And he throws a second one in there, and it's gone. And before you know it, his whole fortune has been depleted, and the river is still currenting right along. And then he notices he's got one coin left. And he noticed there's a captain of a rowboat. And he says, I have one coin left. Will this get me to the other side? And the captain says, sure, I'll take you. And the parable is a person who wants to do tshuva. He wants to change. He said, all his days he spent maybe channeling his energies in the wrong direction. And maybe he flittered away a lot of time. And maybe a lot of money, and maybe a lot of energy. But with one sincere move, he can get to the place that all the coins and all the hours and all the days couldn't get him. Now we're holding, if you know the way the cycle of the Jewish calendar works, we're holding, what's the first month of the Jewish calendar? Nisan. Even though we count our years from Tishrei, I don't want to complicate, but we count our months from Nisan. So you start with Nisan, there's one calendar holiday left, and that's Purim. So maybe we didn't get the most out of our Pesach, and maybe our Shavuos was just a little too much cheesecake and a little too little Torah, and who knows what we did with our Tisha B'Av and our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and our Sukkot. Maybe our Hanukkah was just latkes and donuts and missed out. We got one day left. One day to acquire emunah. One day to acquire betachon. One day to get back in touch with our silent CEO. And that is a beautiful day. It's a day, if it's done right, with preparation, preparation, preparation. If it's done right, it's a day of achdus, it's a day of unity, and it's a day of emunah, a day of coming close to that secret CEO's behind every word of that emunah, that every word of that Megillah, and fueled by the avas hanes, the love that Hashem showed for the Jewish people for that miracle, we'll come close to Hashem, and be together for Simchas and Jewish people, both here in Westchester and the whole globe throughout. We'll be together for B'yas Kodol Tzedek, Miriam and Omar.
Any questions?
Questions, comments, rebuttal?
Bravo. What do you like to hear of in court? I can't imagine him losing a case. Like, such clarity, what a... What a presentation. Any questions, please? All right.
Okay.
Well, great. Yeah, Rabbi Vitters, we're walking around having the Simcha. Having the world. You know what he's trying to do over here, just to let you in on an inside secret. He doesn't just want us to have Simcha and Gur. He wants us to have sex every day of our lives. That's his game. Oh, very grateful.
Thank you.
cigar. I'd like to remind you, everybody, we have the literature here. Just right off the press. Rabbi Teichman, our, you know,